SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Easter Monday, race fans and everybody else. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevevick.com. Hope you had a nice Easter weekend from Good Friday into Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday and Easter Monday, which under normal circumstances would, you know, is a fairly big deal. And we made the most of it, Tina and I, and much like earlier last week, where so many virtual Passover Seders and lots of video and photographs of Easter being shared remotely by so many people, and we would be happy to share the food for about 12 that I made. I don't know what I'm thinking, but we never even got to the macaroni and cheese. Tina will do the mac and cheese later this week. I made coleslaw. Coleslaw has become a go-to for us, and it's just nice to have something cold to kind of mix in with the hot. And I do a vinegar slaw, and the potato au gratin, and so we've got at least, I don't know, we got about 4 days worth of leftovers. I'll be making, every year with the Easter ham, I threaten to make ham croquette. I see those everywhere, and turkey croquette Thanksgiving, and I never make them. So I may try that. And I for matzo ball Barbie, I had to make a second batch Friday of matzo balls. And she's like a terror. there's no stopping her. I hope you had a pleasant Easter, and much like years ago when Calder was the only racetrack that ran on Christmas, yesterday it was Gulfstream, the only racetrack running on Easter. Not that we could bet in New York, because we're still operating under the Byzantine betting laws. If casinos could have been open, they would have been yesterday. But those of us that want to bet, we can't bet. They did relent on Palm Sunday. It might be 5 years ago now. Remember when we couldn't bet on either Palm Sunday or on Easter Sunday. Now it's just Easter Sunday. This is the craziest thing, and I don't get it. But a lot of people were engaged yesterday at Gulfstream, and I don't know if you were following closely, but you know you can tell on Twitter there becomes, you know, a firestorm of information whenever anything, you know, notable is happening, and something notable was happening going into that 12th race. And it was about, I don't know, quarter of six at that point. And you know, I was kind of getting, things were kind of coming to a head in terms of the cooking. And so I wasn't, you know, really paying attention. And you know, I had the laptop in the kitchen. And the next thing I know, I see that there's a horse live for the Rainbow Six pot, which had hit a million. Unbelievable. And then Armando de Lacerda's Gran Hombre at 20-1 put in a tremendous performance. And basically, Edgar Zayas and Luis Saez hooked up Blazing Desire, who was the 3-2 favorite. And they basically were shoulder to shoulder. And, you know, there were points where Grand Hombre kind of looked like he was getting the edge, and Blazing Desire would just come right back. And ultimately, in the late stretch, no matter how much anybody was trying to get Grand Hombre home, they just couldn't. And Blazing Desire and Luis Saez maintained, you know, basically a head lead through the wire. And, you know, they got a, I imagine that the ticket holder at least was one of the people that got the console. The console paid $27,407. I'm going to assume that they had, you know, that. So they got something, but it's not a million. However, there were certainly no shortage of wild results on Saturday. And, you know, considering that we're all focusing on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're focusing on two racetracks. Well, then the third, actually, as well on midweek. But on the weekends with Tampa, Gulfstream, and Oaklawn, I mean, you know, you basically can, if you want to watch every single race, it's a lot easier than normal. For me, it's still easier to, you know, kind of focus on one, you know, and Oaklawn for me was the focus on Saturday. But early in the day, you could see what was happening at Gulfstream with just a parade of insane winners and three straight gigantic prices to start the day at Gulfstream. And I can't wait to talk to Johnny. I asked him, you know, if we knew what we knew about, you know, the two big pick five winners at Gulfstream and at Oaklawn. And there's more known about Gulfstream because there was some tweeting details floated, a $400 play. But what's fascinating about this is, you know, kind of how it unfolded with Freddie Soto winning the opener, Antonio Seno. This was a $20,000 claimer. And he was the second longest price of 11, 73-1. 73-1. Favorite was last in here, actually. But winner up on the lead, turf sprint, Freddie Soto with Reyes gets it going. So right off the bat, we got a $148 winner. The second leg, Union Lane for Dan Pita, horse that he owns and trains. And Union Lane was 34-1. And all three of these winners were 20-1 morning lines. And Union Lane was actually the sixth price in a field of nine. There were three longer prices, 42-1, 59-1, and 86-1. Union Lane, though, pays $70 with Vasquez and actually, you know, held off the 1-5 favorite at the wire. So now we've got a $148 winner and a $70 winner. The double paid almost $1,500 for a dollar. We get to the third leg, and Michael Tomlinson, who you heard from a couple of weeks ago, for Michael Bruder, longest shot on the board of eight horses, Dylan Davis, wire to wire, and Davis brought in a bunch of prices over the weekend. This is a flatter colt, three-year-old, a maiden claimer for $50,000, and in fact, I recognize that I see the dam, Baby J, who I am pretty sure was a Paul Pompa trainee, a JBK filly. But Lynn Schiff bred this winner. He's a babe, 36.60 to 1, pays 75.20. The pick three pays just under 15,000 for 50 cents. And actually, looking at that, it looks like 30,000, figure 30-something thousand. Maybe call it, there are probably eight winners. Eight 50-cent value. So $4 worth of, give or take, $4.50 worth of winners through the pick three. And then we get to the fourth and fifth legs, and the favorites win both of those. So when it's all said and done, unbelievable. Pick five, an $823,000 pool, a $525,000 essentially, $34 short, $524,966.50, $525,000 winner with two $70 horses and a $150 horse and two favorites. Unbelievable. And then later in the day at Oaklawn, everything was going along swimmingly until the late double. Oh, my God. And of course, you know, Mr. Big News was shouldn't have been 47-1. But that's the benefit of a 13-horse field. You get big fields. You get horses that get lost in the shuffle. You had a lot of money in the top three favorites. This is in the, as I called it on Saturday, not the Arkansas Derby, the Oaklawn Stakes. And Thousand Words goes favored just over 5-2. Essentially, Tayshaun took a ton of money and is just a tick away from being co-favorite. And then Basin at a little under 5-2. So there was a lot of money poured into the three favorites. Farmington Road, 6-1. And then, of course, the race essentially, and, you know, the rain did come mid-card. And, the track goes from fast to good to wet fast sealed and then sloppy sealed. So there was a lot going on that front. However, even with the wet track, this ends up being a collapse, you know, major pace collapse, 22 flat, 45-2, 110-4, 137-2, 149-4. Mr. Big News pays 95.60, and here's Chester Thomas and Brett Calhoun with another nice horse. And yesterday, you may have seen, if you follow on Twitter, I took the PPs, I took the thoroughbred sheet. This is a horse that's been improving as he matures, both on thoroughgraph performance figures and buyer. He has improved with every start, and he certainly is bred for distance. And Mr. Big News, fifth, beaten only four lengths in the Risen Star division with Modernist, which, you know, it's kind of funny. That division at the time, everybody kind of thought was the weaker division, but it's proven to be quite solid, and then some. Great ride by Gabe Saez. And from 11th after a quarter of a mile, 10th after a half mile, Storm's Home, Farmington Road is chasing under Martin Garcia. A little bit of broken field running, but Farmington Road closed as well. And Tayshaun and Basin, they were fourth and fifth after a half mile, and they did their best to stay on. Tayshaun ends up third, Basin fourth. The horses that were on the pace, right on the pace, 1, 2, 3, Gold Street, Flapjack, Sir Rick, they end up down the chart. Gold Street ended up 8th. Flapjack was 12th, chasing wide. Sir Rick last. And this chart, you know, really has collapse written on it, but it doesn't really take away from you know, Mr. Big News is okay. And listen, this 87 buyer didn't rack up a big number. But I will say this, the figs were very interesting, and there's a lot of good racing, obviously, on Saturday at Oaklawn. We'll go over a lot of it. I thought that the figs would be a little tricky. Randy Moss does the figs does the buyers at Oaklawn. I thought they might be a little tricky. And there were a couple of performances, including, how about Shooter's Shoot and Blackberry Wine hooking up early on the card. That was when the track was still fast. And they went in 1:36.3. And then the older horses actually, I guess it was the eighth, the track was still fast. The four and ups, they went 1:37.3. So essentially a second slower. You know, granted, 2 hours later. But when I saw that, I thought, wow, the Shooter's Shoot race is going to come back fast. And it really kind of didn't. It came back okay. It didn't come back scintillating by any stretch. 89. So, you know, solid. Solid. The big performance, of course, and I should mention the $95 Mr. Big News and the Alcatam Nightcap winner. Congratulations to Dan Pites. Always happy when Dan wins. And the Shadwell Homebred, 38-1, beating the favorite, Popular Kid. And that set off another giant, almost $300,000 pick five. Incredible. Two winners, it looks like. There. Now, the rest of Oaklawn got so much to do. We've also got a couple of jocks that got hurt. Paco Lopez and Jose Leon at Tampa. Paco at Gulfstream. Got to talk about that. But arguably, the biggest performance or the most notable performance, aside from the shoulder-to-shoulder throwdown between Shooter's Shoot and Blackberry Wine, how about the first-time starter for John Secura and Hill and Dale, the homebred Casual. This is a real homebrew for Hill and Dale. It's a Curlin out of Lady Tack that they own. And I do want to reach John. It's actually a partnership too, Stretch Run Ventures involved. But you remember Lady Tack. I mean, this is also for Steve Asmussen. It's also a special horse for Asmussen. So, I mean, Lady Tack, for those of you that don't remember, Lady Tack was dynamite. She was a test/ballerina winner 2 years in a row. It's only a handful of horses that have done that. A couple of horses have done it in the same year, like Lady Secret. But I hit the middle pick four. Not that that was all that clever, but I had her as a B just because I thought she might need one. She didn't need one. She was tremendous in here, and she paid $1,160. This is a serious horse, 90 buyer in her debut. So I'm going to reach out to John Secura. I've been wanting to talk to John. And for those that were so convinced that Steve Asmussen would never win a race again, well, that didn't work out so well if you were playing against the Asmussen barn. Yeah. Yeah. He broke the skein on Thursday with the late double win, then comes back and wins three in a row on Saturday. Yeah, so 0-43, now 5-51. that was not going to last forever. Tom's the Tot. We'll talk to Al Stahl after the break. That was a very good return for both him and for Improbable. Improbable from the difficult 14 hole. Joel Rosario, patient as can be. I mean, for those of us that single Tom's the Tot, you're thinking, hey, whoa, come on, let's go. And he did get going. By the way, how about the Sellers? How about Louis and John Sella with Prodigious Bay? Aggressive ride by Van Dyke at 9-1 for Moquette. Speaking of home cooking, let's take a break. Al Stahl starts us off. Brett Calhoun, Johnny D, much more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield, the leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
We're back at the races, 25 minutes into hour one on this Easter Monday. the beat goes on, at least that Oaklawn, Gulfstream, Tampa, Foner and Will Rogers today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and plus a little Remington and Losail quarter horse action. And Al Stahl joins us after he brings back Tom's the Tot for his seasonal debut, and it was pretty smashing in the Oaklawn Mile. And first of all, we'll say to Al, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all, Al. And first and foremost, Nicole and the kids okay? Everybody safe? And New Orleans has been ravaged.
We're all together here in Louisville, and everybody's in good shape, and they're doing their school right now. So I'm whispering a little bit, and the door's closed, but that's what life's like nowadays.
When did you get out as a family? When did you get out of New Orleans?
Well, the family lives in Louisville, so they were always up here.
Okay.
I've officially finished my 14-day quarantine from, the state of Louisiana. So whatever that means, I'm still abiding by all the rules and staying home and limited travel around. But as far as going to Oaklawn Park or even Texas or Florida, where, I could go to those states. But I've officially been out for 14 days now.
Excellent. Well, in the meantime, the horses are all still in New Orleans, yes?
And Oaklawn Park.
And at Oaklawn. Okay. So you're operating.
Yeah. I go to Oaklawn every winter. Well, I shouldn't say. I've been doing it for about the last 5 or 6 years. Very small stable with Chelsea Cody at Oaklawn Park. And then, of course, our fairgrounds barn with myself and Pam Fitzgerald.
Very nice. Well, Al, let me actually ask that question first, because we've been kind of waiting and watching, and some court activity, in terms of Louisiana and handling the horses and keeping them, essentially where they are until other options are available. What is your understanding of how long you can stay at fairgrounds? I assume till Churchill opens, but what is the status from what you understand?
Churchill / Fairgrounds has been great. We train 5 days a week down there, and we're just going to stay till we can get moved on. The other tracks in Louisiana, Harris, Louisiana Downs, and Boyd Gaming are disgusting to do that to the horse people, to have to go to court just to be able to take care of the animals properly. So nobody's happy with that at all. We're very happy with Churchill and Fairgrounds, but the other outfits have showed themselves in a bad light as far as we're concerned.
Well, and actually, there's been a couple of other topics, of course, that they've been heavily criticized, including their awareness of horses going into slaughter pipelines, etc. But this really has been a pretty shameful
especially since the one for racetrack, both racetracks, I guess they have meets coming up. That's the thing. I mean, the fairgrounds theoretically should be shuttered and trimmed down, and they're going the extra mile, and these other meets, they have meets coming up, and they don't even care about letting horses prepare to run at their meets whenever that day might be. I mean, it's mind blowing that even cross someone's desk and someone put the bad stamp on the big X. So hopefully that gets straightened out, because there's some horsemen down there, local guys, who are just really in tight spots.
We'll get to that story separately as well. Let's talk now about getting the season going for one of the stable stars, in the first stall, actually, and that is Tom's the Tot, right? He's in the first stall.
Yeah, no, he's the stable star. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Talk about
yes,
getting
great.
Prepared.
It was great. It was great. Right off the bat, from after the Clark last year, we trying to figure out what we wanted to do with him, and we decided that we wanted to point for the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland. So that eliminated all the winter type stuff like Pegasus and Saudi and Dubai and things like that. And we kept him at the fairgrounds and just gave him a little in barn freshening. He had just a spectacular winter. I mean, really, really good. And we wanted to run him in the Ben Ally, on the 11th of April at Keeneland. Of course, that didn't work out. And maybe the Ally Sheba, that didn't work out. So, honestly, I didn't even know that Oaklawn had a race called the Oaklawn Mile because they ran it last year on Kentucky Oaks Day. And nothing against Oaklawn Park by any stretch of imagination. I'm very thankful to be in the door there. But, I didn't watch too many Oaklawn races on Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks weekend. So just thumbing through the condition book, and I saw this flat mile race, and it was on April 11th, the day we had earmarked. So I said, well, let's try this. It's not the perfect configuration. The distance is not a problem for him. He's a very good miler. He's run at 34 and change at Churchill. But the configuration with the short stretch can be a little funny. But we had to get started somewhere, and it was a bird in the hand type situation because, as we sit here today, I don't even know where he would go from here. How can you? Because no one's got anything scheduled. So we ended up in that race, and he just showed, he just class. That's the only thing I can describe when you're dealing with a horse like that. Pure, unadulterated class.
Let's talk about the way this race unfolded, though, because there was a point approaching the turn, Rosario was being very not cautious, but being very relaxed about where he was and how much how much he wanted to ask Toms the Tot. What did you expect in terms of pace? And of course, you had to be watching the weather, which was deteriorating right about this time.
Oh yeah, no, the race before was run on a normal Harrowed racetrack. and Chelsea called me. She was walking over, and she's saying there's lightning going on and storm. And I was saying, oh, this might be one of these hold up in the paddock type situations. And I guess they did hold us up a little bit, but that was because they wanted to put a seal on the racetrack. So yeah, you're dealing with a whole different, another unknown. You're talking about a long layoff. You're talking about short stretch mile. You're talking about now a sealed racetrack. The variables just kept, coming and coming and coming, the ones we couldn't control. So, but like I said, he's got the intangible, which is class. So, but down the backside, actually, I was, there was pace there. I was surprised to see two Asmussen horses up there, dueling themselves. And I'm assuming they were trying to get Bankett to come running it. Bankett is, obviously, I love that horse. I've been following his whole career. He's by a Central Banker horse that I trained. And I don't know him that well, but he seems like he fires really hard. And he was right behind us, and he did fire really hard. So we had kind of a decent setup, and Improbable was pushed out in the middle of the racetrack. But there was a lot going on up there. And Rosario is just so instinctive, and he knows his horse so well, and he has a ton of confidence in him. And it's amazing how a rider, when he kind of set him down, he didn't turn his stick up. He literally did not turn. If you watch it, he did not turn his stick up and just rode into the wire and got there. It's an unbelievable, it's a perfect combination, those two.
What was notable in the stretch, too, Improbable ran a tremendous race. He was coming back from Breeders' Cup mile, actually, and Baffert, much like you, was in the same boat where he had they actually had him entered in the Santana Mile a few Sundays ago, and he ends up opting for this. And from the 14 hole, he did get to move in, a little bit because there were some scratches. But still, from the outside, under Drayden Van Dyke, he ran a tremendous race. Looked at a certain point like a winner. Here comes Tom DeTat, and just when it looked like Rosario was going by, Al, Improbable dug in and really ran with him to the wire.
Yeah, no, that was well. I people have a lot more time on their hands, horse trainers do, depending on where you are. And I saw Improbable's work on XBTV, and I didn't say anything, but I said, we might need a bigger boat type of thing. So, and Bob coming from west to east, Oakland, it's almost a cinch, so we knew that horse was going to be super live and the horse to beat. And I he got pushed, out a little bit, but I think maybe being out there away from outside pressure and not a bad part of the racetrack now that it was sealed. He didn't have as bad a trip as some people kind of said, but I surely think he fired a big shot. And if he continues to stay in the game, mentally, from what you always hear about him, he's going to have a nice year, that horse. I'm not sure what distance or anything like that, but he's clearly a talent.
Well, he's come to Oaklawn twice before, and now three times, and he's 3-for-3 running second. Second in the Arkansas Derby last year to Omaha Beach, who ran him down, and second in a terrific Rebel when Long Range Toddy got him, and now he runs into you and Tom's De Tot in here. 101 buyer for Tom, a 7-year-old seasonal debut, 99 for Improbable, for those keeping track of figs. And you said right away, Al, that after this win, you're not interested in the Oaklawn handicap. You've got a different agenda.
Right. Well, to me, you just don't give a horse a bunch of time off to freshen him and just come right back and boom, boom, 21 days. It's just not the plan. If we want to make it to whatever it is, November 6th or 7th, I don't think it's the right thing to do with a 7-year-old horse who gives it to you every time. So I'm going to roll the dice and hope that our home track here, Churchill, maybe has some racing in May. I know there's a Stephen Foster prep day, or actually prep night, and there's a race on that card. It's kind of corny as it sounds. It's called the Blaine, but we certainly wouldn't run a horse in a race called the Blaine just to run in it. But if it's the only game in town and it fits his schedule because the Stephen Foster was moved back to closing day, instead of mid-June, so that's a little bit of a different wrinkle than the Churchill normally has with the Foster. So if we want to kind of go that route, maybe we'll end up there if things go well from obviously getting back in action.
Well, as a 7-year-old, and as you've watched him mature, Al, is there much difference? I mean, how many races do you envision? Last year, 7 starts, and then of course he had kind of really, you could I guess expand it to 9, considering that he had missed that chunk of time from Saratoga until he came back as a 5-year-old. So really, he ran 9 times between November of 18 and November of 19. Do you think he thrives a little bit on regular intervals, or do you feel comfortable giving him bigger swaths of time off, in part because we just don't know what's going to be out there?
No, he. I think that's that was good. Very good observation on your part, because I think that's what's made him what he is today, is getting the opportunity to string that line of races together, ending up with the Clark. I just think it got him super fit, and really dialed in to what a racehorse needs to do, even though he runs some great races, but to get that absolute, warrior mindset and as cardio fit as a horse could possibly be, that's what we saw at the end of last year with the Fayette and the Clark. Actually, the Woodward was a really good race he ran. He had a very awkward trip there, and he got a lot out of that too. So putting those races together is what has turned him into, the big horse. So this year we're going to try and, just if we can make Say the Blame, that'd be two races. Foss would be three. What's better than Whitney, right? You know that.
Absolutely.
Four, and then one more at the end of the year would be the Breeders' Cup Classic. That would be six. So, race five, who knows? But that's what's kind of, just going around in my mind right now.
What about the mile and a quarter with him?
Oh, that's put on this earth to do that. With his pedigree and that stride, and all you got to do is, if you got his full life form, he's already run a mile and a quarter in the second start of his life and ran a very, very good race. Churchill Card's a mile and a quarter maiden race, like in the second book or their last book. They did that when they were building, that new area they built down there by the quarter pole, whatever it's called, the quarter pole. They did that so those fans could look at that starting gate. And ever since then, they've kept that race in the book. And it was the first year they did that, I guess. And I ran him on the turf, Oaks Day. He just, he did everything but stop and graze. It wasn't going to happen. So he was basically a first-time starter going a mile and a quarter. And Ricardo Santana rode him, and he left the gate in the bridle. He was traveling. I was like, what is going on here? And Ken Ramsey had a tappet horse who had run four or five times. I think Mike Maker might have been the trainer, who was like 2-5. And we took him as far as we could take him, and we ended up running second, going a mile and a quarter. And that was literally like his first start of his career. So with his stride and his pedigree and his airs, he's got a sail throat on him, and I'm actually looking forward to it, where Joel would have a great time riding a mile and a quarter. No telling what he would do with him.
Yeah, and Rosario absolutely, with his style and with his patience, he does really suit him. And as the horse has kind of matured, it doesn't necessarily have to be, as close to the pace as he has been, historically. Rosario, a terrific pairing.
Yeah, no, it's a match made in heaven. He's clearly gets along with the horse and has been a big part of his progress. And I just like his instinctiveness. And Robbie Alvarado is obviously, friend of mine for forever. He rides that Mr. Freeze horse. And in the Fayette, he said, well, what a great ride. He said, I had plenty of horse. I was on lead. I was comfortable. And, Joel noticed that, and he didn't take back off of him and just dogged him every step of the way, very close to the lead, and just went on about his business. In the very next race, there was more pace in the Clark, and then he slid him 5, 6, 7 lengths off of it. Just amazing. It's still, even after all these years, amazing me how certain jocks can do that on the back of a horse going 37.7 miles an hour, whatever. It kind of blows my mind. And things must move in slow motion for Joel when he's on the back of Tom's Big Tie, that's for sure.
Well, I know we discussed it at the time last November, but now 7, and with a year that is planned, obviously the circumstances are a little strange, but with this pedigree, Smart Strike, and being out of the very nice Julia Tuttle, for those that don't remember her, there's real pedigree here. And has there been stallion conversation since we talked last about him?
Not really, maybe just a little here and there, but Nothing to speak of. Old stallions, or you know, you lose a couple years. Spice Town with the stud, you know, late in his career, but it's a different dynamic. He's gonna have to raise his hand up this year and say, okay, you have to take me now somewhere. So that's part of the game plan, also.
No doubt. Well, in the meantime, for Mrs. Benson and for the whole team, with Greg and everybody, this is fun. I mean, to keep a horse around like this, and given the time that he missed, there's not a lot of, there's really not a lot of mileage on these tires.
No, there's not. There's not. I mean, he's a good clean-legged horse, and he's moving very well right now. And everybody's telling me, "Oh, that's a good job of being patient." So, I'm not the one paying the bills. It's easy for me to say, "Hey, stop right now. We need to fix this and send to a farm and wherever he goes, Chessmark. He's been everywhere, and the bills keep going to Airline Drive and Saints Camp in New Orleans, and they just just paid him like they do." And I mean, I would advise them. I said, this horse is worth it. We got to keep going. But they carried the water in this spot. So I'm thrilled to train for Gail and Greg and Dennis and all those guys. It's a lot of fun, and they enjoy it, even though they're extraordinarily busy with all the things they have going on. So it's nice.
Al, let me ask you too about a couple of horses in the barn since the beginning of the year. After winning the Kenner, Bobby's Wicked One is his. What's his status?
Yeah, he runs Saturday.
Okay,
he runs Saturday in the Count Fleet.
Oh, terrific! Terrific.
Yeah,
I wondered. Yeah, I didn't know what was going on.
He's up. He's up at Oaklawn and. He's beating his chest.
Excellent. Okay, I'm just looking here. I guess I see. He just worked on Saturday. Nice little blowout, 36-1, going 3, and before that a 48-flat. So he seems sharp, and just hasn't run since. Was it got to be January, right? Yeah, January.
Yeah. Well, I think he ran. That was a plan all along. Okay. We have Breeders' Cup aspirations with Bobby also. He's a graded stakes winner at Keeneland sprinting, and whether he's going to be that type of horse, I've certainly got to give him a chance, and there really wasn't that many opportunities except for the prep races at Oaklawn, the Hot Springs, and things like that, but I just decided to give him a little bit of a breather and have him super fresh for, the race was 500, obviously, and it's changed to 350, which is fine. We all understand that. And they moved it back. They moved it back 1 week, which is fine also. So he's in the bullpen, ready. He's ready to go. He's a whole different type of horse than Tom's A Tie. He's not as laid back about things. So when he's ready, he'll let you know with his front legs and his mouth and all kinds of different things. So we're looking forward to entering on Wednesday and seeing how that race comes up.
Bobby's Wicked One. And how about a follow-up coming out of the Louisiana Derby with Sharecropper? Broke his maiden at Churchill in October, and it really looked like, that he projected as a, progressive three-year-old. What have you been doing since the Derby with him?
Just freshening because there's nothing set, nowhere to run just yet. He's going to track every day. We were disappointed in that race. We didn't think he had to win the race, but he just didn't run like we thought he might have. So that, like typical three-year-old type thing, it's just back to the drawing board, but with no condition books in front of us, i.e. Keeneland, Churchill, we decided to give him just a little bit of a break, just gallop along instead of breezing. I actually might breeze him this weekend just to, just to get something in him, but he's fine. He's sound, and obviously we'll just go back to a one other than around two turns. More than likely Churchill Downs when the time comes.
How about Real News, who won that sprint at Sam Houston, the Factor colt? What's next for him?
Yeah, well, that's a horse. I mean, I wouldn't get up every morning at 4:30 in the morning if you didn't have dreams. There's another horse we're dreaming about, possibly the Breeders' Cup sprint at Keeneland going 5.5. He's great, just waiting. Just nothing for him. He's come back. I gave him some time off this summer. He had a little foot issue. And his two races that he ran, one, the allowance race, the fairground, and the stake at Sam Houston, just gave us quite a bit of hope. He's a big, strong horse who does everything right, and he just seems like a different horse, and we're very anxious to get him back going, and I'm just going to work and live under the assumption there'll be a turf sprint somewhere early when Churchill gets going. Obviously, that's the easy kind of race to write, and boom, you have a 12, 14 horse field right off the bat. So I'm assuming Ben might have something, somewhere in May at Churchill. But he's a horse going the right direction. We're kind of getting higher on him by the day.
Nice. I'm glad. We hit on a few. Real News and Bobby's Wicked One, and of course Tom's the Tot. So at least three prospective year-end goals in the stall barn, and there'll be others as well. The Rockets. There's all the Rocket products, right, for Frank Fletcher, and plenty more. Al, well done. Great start to the season for 7-year-old Tom's the Tot for the Bensons, and continued success. Stay healthy. Best to Nick and the kids. And we'll talk soon, and hope we'll see you certainly by Saratoga.
Okay, well, hopefully maybe we're talking after the Comp Fleet too, Steve. But thanks for having me on your show, and to get back to work right now.
Absolutely. Al Stahl, everybody. Lil Al joins us, and we'll keep Oaklawn top of mind because Brett Calhoun's going to join us. Brett and Mr. Thomas with another 3-year-old star. It's unbelievable. With the 2 last year and now another one jumping up and continues to improve with every start. Mr. Big News, Brett Calhoun, joins us next. Johnny D in a little bit. Later this morning, Dan Waits, the director, executive director of the National Racetrack Chaplaincy, will get an update from Dan as to racetracks nationwide and the chaplaincy's work. We talked to Umberto Chavez 2 weeks ago in New York. Dan has to coordinate virtually every other racetrack in the country. And we're anxious to see how we can all help Dan and the backstretch communities nationwide through the chaplaincy. Let's take a break. Back after this. Brett Calhoun.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRFSports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in after?